And I want to thank my brother for graciously accepting this job tonight. I asked him while he was out of town and couldn't give me an answer. So I do want to thank him, and I want to assure you that he has made preparations. I know he has. And I would ask that you would give him your undivided attention. Brother Rusty Granger.
Thank you, Larry. Even though I was out of town and unable to speak for myself, my wife does speak for me. She made great assurance that I would be here tonight to do this. And like she told Larry, I would never turn this down. Never. Although, as nervous as I usually get, it's no different tonight. When I was asked to do this, when Wendy called me and said that Larry had asked to do this, I have to say that I hadn't really been thinking about anything that would be relevant to preaching about. But I did have something that had been, I won't say eating at me, but there was something that was just continuously on my mind, and it has been for a couple of weeks. And it came about from something that's going on right now in our world. So I'll expound on that a little bit later. I'm going to start with in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verses 3 through 10. I'm sorry. That is not right. I knew that was not right. I started on the wrong page. We're going to start with Mosiah chapter 11, page 284. Starting at the 135th verse. And then will I confess unto them that I never knew them, and they shall depart into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. This is Jesus talking to Alma. Alma had been praying about the direction he should go. Therefore I say unto you that he that will not hear my voice, the same shall ye not receive into my church. For him I will not receive at the last day. Therefore, I say unto you, go, and whosoever transgresseth against me, him shall ye judge accordingly to the sins which he hath committed. And if he confess his sins before thee and me, and repenteth in the sincerity of his heart, he shall ye forgive, and I will forgive him also. Yea, and as often as my people repent, will I forgive them their trespasses against me. And ye shall also forgive one another your trespasses. For verily I say unto you, he that forgiveth not his neighbor's trespasses, when he saith that he repenteth, the same hath brought himself under condemnation. Now I say unto you, go, and whosoever will not repent of his sins, the same shall not be numbered among my people. And this shall be observed from this time forward. This happened in 100 to 120 BC. This is Christ. He says, he's saying, he's giving Alma directions to judge and rule over the church, the church's affairs. He's saying, confess, repent, forgive, and be forgiven. Confess. How many of you have openly confessed your sins to anyone? to a minister, to your spouse, to a friend. I mean, honestly, I can remember a time when I've erred against a sister here in the church, and then I realized I did, and I asked forgiveness, and I know her, and I know she forgave me. That would be about the only time I can think of that I have confessed that I was wrong openly. I mean, we know we're not like that one church that has the box that you come in and you go confess your sin. You say a few of these things and you're forgiven. But I'm a minister in the Church of Christ, and I don't know that I've had anyone come to me and openly confess their sins. How about you guys? Think about it. Have you ever openly confessed your sins? I hope you have, because I think that confessing your sins to someone, asking forgiveness, is a part of repentance. So I'm here tonight to confess some sins. Is that okay? Are you ready to forgive me? Are you ready to give forgiveness unto me and not judge me for that sin when I repent sincerely? I'm only going to touch on a few. We'll start with idolatry. Do you all know what idolatry is? Do you have an idea what idolatry is? I think everybody pretty much has an idea what idolatry is. The Easton's Bible Dictionary says it's an image worship or divine honor paid to any created object. Sounds about right. That sounds right. Forms of idolatry are fetishism, or the worship of trees, rivers, hills, stones, etc. Nature worship, the worship of the sun, moon, stars, as the supposed powers of nature, the worship of Mother Nature. Hero worship, the worship of deceased ancestors or of heroes. I mean, you all have your favorite movie star, right? You have a specific show you like to watch. You have that person on a pedestal because you make time to watch over or watch their show, right? You make time to do activities. And honestly, I wish y'all could have been here for the young adults class, because I felt like we touched on some of this today. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, this is a scripture I've used before more than once. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Man became smarter than God. Whatever man could create became the focus. Technology. Do we not all look to technology for our knowledge? And how much time does technology actually consume in our lives today? It was created for something good, but because of the length of time, the focus we put on those things, they become idols in our lives. Man himself became the item to be worshipped. God gave man to his own lusts. And we see this in television shows. We see this in life. He gave to us the opportunity to do whatever we wanted. And we tend to do that in our lives. We tend to focus on many things. Excuse me. Man himself became the item to be worshipped. It can be anything that replaces your time with God. Idolatry. That's my interpretation of idolatry. You put anything in front of a person and they spend their time focusing on it, figuring it out, using it, and it takes away from their time to worship their Heavenly Father, and they've now replaced God with that item, that idol, that item. The next sin, covetousness. A strong desire after the possession of worldly things. Sometimes the more aggravated of avarice, which is the mark of cold-hearted worldliness. What do you think of when you think of possessing worldly things? We were just talking about idolatry, where you have these things that take away from God, but covetousness. I want a bigger, better house. You ever tell yourself that? Have you ever said, I really want a bigger and a better house? I don't like my house. I've thought that. Believe me, my house needs so much work, I wish I had a bigger, better house. Right? One that I don't have to work on right now. But why? My house keeps the rain, the snow, and the sun off my head. Is that not what a house is for? You have a need. I had a need. Wendy and I had a need when we got married. Could we have lived in an apartment? Yes. But we had a need because we had a goal to have a family. You know what? That house serves our family well. I need a new car, the next version of a cell phone. I need a tablet. I have 3 laptops in my house, but I need a tablet. I need a bigger TV. I've got 3 TVs in my house. But you know what? They're just not. That's covetousness. That's a need to keep up with all the things of the world. The question is, why do you need that new TV, that new cell phone? Are the ones you have broken? Do they not work? Now we'll go to 1 Timothy 6. Starting at the 3rd verse. If any man teach otherwise, the consent not to wholesome words. Excuse me. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It takes money to to have all these things that you want. So you work to get that extra money. You work to get those things that you want. How many of you thought if you just had more, things would be better? I think it falls on every one of our shoulders. How many of you thought about this? If I spend $1 and I get blessed to win that $250 million. Oh, how my life would be so much better. I've thought about it. I can't lie to you. I mean, just the thought that money would make my life better is a sin. Money has not made my life better. Coming to this church and learning about Jesus Christ, the love of Jesus Christ, is the only thing that's made my life better. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 19 and 19. Through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Our want of things fulfills nothing more than a momentary sense of pleasure. Carnal joy. Covetousness. A carnal joy. This next one is the one that's been on my mind lately. Some of you know I travel for work a lot. It seems like lately I've been in New York a lot. And the mayor there has decided that he is going to make laws to stop people from being gluttons. And that's exactly the way I saw it. He has stopped merchants from selling any drinks, whether you're at dinner or a convenience store, over 16 ounces. And it's bothered me. It's bothered me in the sense to think about we the people have to be ruled over by a government to tell us how much soda we should intake so that we're not sick. I mean, we all know it's not healthy to drink 44 and 54 ounce sodas, right? But gluttony came to mind when I heard. He's trying to do it to salt. He's trying to do it to butter. He's trying to do it to popcorn. When you're there, you hear a lot more than what you hear on the national news. But he's actually made a law where they can't serve more than 16 ounces of soda at a meal. You can buy as many as you want. You can have 10 16-ounce sodas sitting on your table. But he's stopping you from having a 44 or 54-ounce drink. And I think to myself, what kind of world have we come to that we're that gluttonous that we can't be satisfied with a soda? That we have to be told that we can't drink an overabundance of something? Gluttony. Hebrew, from a word meaning to shake out, to squander, and hence one who is prodigal, who wastes his means by indulgence. That kind of hit home. Wasting my means because of indulgence. Yeah, I can see that. I'm guilty. When I go get a coffee, I'm being a glutton because it comes with two shots of espresso. But you know what? That's not enough. I want two more. Do I need four espresso shots in a cup of coffee, in my cup of coffee? No, I don't. I'm being gluttonous. I'm paying an extra $4. What's it say right there? He who wastes his means by indulgence. I'm feeding a need, or feeding a want, excuse me, not a need. There are things in all our lives that when we get started, we got to have more and more till we can't physically hold anymore. I'm guilty again. Sit down to a meal at a restaurant and they bring a heaping plate of food out. What's the first thing I think of? Well, it's not, wow, look at all that food. I should split everything in half and take half with me. I could have a second meal. No, my first thought is, how am I going to finish this all? I'm a glutton. How about you? Is there anything in your life that you can think of that you treat in that fashion? Kids, give them a bowl of candy. Think they're going to stop? They don't understand gluttony. They just know sugar is cool. It's good. Tastes good. Makes them hyper. We have to teach our young people about overindulgence. Luke chapter 12. Starting at the 16th verse. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Continuing on in verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more? Are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? We need to prepare ourselves to live according to our needs, not our wants. But the world doesn't teach us that. The world teaches us how if you want it, get it. How if your neighbor has it, you should have it. In practicality, in Christ's world, we should live within our means, within our needs. And I don't think, from my view, my opinion, my interpretation, God has never denied any of his creatures the basic needs. I never, even before I knew Jesus Christ, before I even fathomed that I needed to follow after him and his Father, I had a way. I had a way. I was, if I look back at it, I was given the knowledge to find a way to eat, find a way to clothe myself. Whether I had a job or not, there was always a way, and it was always fulfilled to the base, to the basics. Once again, I'm guilty here. Slothfulness. I see it as lazy, without motivation. I'm a pretty motivated guy, but I'm still slothful. Can any of you say out loud that you're guilty of being slothful? I see your hands, but I didn't hear you, but that's okay. I'm not going to make you. I am. I'm a slothful person. Proverbs chapter 19. Verse 15. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Who can actually say sitting around doing nothing makes you want to do something, makes you motivated? I don't think anyone can. The longer I sit around, the more tired, the lazier I get, and I believe you get. You're demotivated. I think in the worldly sense, they call that depression. And believe me, I know it's a real thing, but I think it's just, I think that we can put ourselves in a depressed state with a lack of motivation, a lack of desire. For me, that slothfulness becomes when I sit down in front of the TV. There's that idolatry coming in again. I'm slothful. I'm subject to idolatry because I'm watching my TV and I'm not spending time with my God. That slothfulness is dangerous. Because wherever it is that you find yourself being that way, being a sloth, it only gets worse. It creeps into your life and other things come with it. Ecclesiastes 10. Verse 17 and 18. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and the princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness. According to the need, not according to want. We all become drunken when we are gluttonous, slothful, idolaters, coveters. Verse 18. By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth away. Without the proper attention, anything will rot away. Your house, your car, your body, and most importantly, your soul. Back to Romans chapter 1. Verse 28 through 32. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. The list of sins goes on and on. And don't think because you allow a little bit of idolatry in, a little bit of covetousness, a little bit of slothfulness, that that's all there is. Not only does the list of sins just continuously grow, once you introduce some into your life, they continue, you continue to allow another and another and another. The list of sins are all tangled and intertwined together. You agree with that? Right? I mean, I think so. When I see myself being a sloth, what I say? Well, I was being slothful in the fact that I wasn't motivated to do anything but watch TV where my favorite actor's on, my favorite show's on, that show that I'm putting before God in my evening free time. 1 Timothy 3. Verse 1 through 5. This is a true saying. If a man desires... Hang on. Excuse me. This is 2 Timothy 3. Verse 1 through 5. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Yes, the last days. I've heard sermons about the last days. I know we're in the last days. I agree. These are the last days. These are the things that we're going to see. In the last days, we will hear and see many things we know are not true or right. In these last days, are you going to be a partaker of those things that you see and hear that are not true and right? In Luke 12:19, I read it already, but it says, "And I will say to my soul, soul, thou has much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Is that your time? Have you done the work that you have to do to where you can say your storehouse is full? Your storehouse in heaven is full and you need to do nothing else. Eat, drink, and be merry. I say if that's the way you feel, I worry. I'm worried. I'm scared. We talked about how to fear God. This is how I fear God. I know I haven't done the work that I need. My storehouse isn't full. But in the last days, how are you going to react? Vanity. To me, my interpretation of vanity is when it wraps everything together. Vanity is pride, idolatry, covetousness, slothfulness, gluttony, lust, fornication, that whole list. And if you continue in those ways, in the last days, Ecclesiastes 12, starting at verse 1. And I ask you, forgive me if you believe I use this scripture out of context. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease, because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. When we were young, we were carefree. We didn't know. But as we grow older, we become knowledgeable of good and evil. And when the day comes, when the shopkeepers are trembling and the strong men are bowing down, it's the beginning of the end times, the last days. And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up to the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Everyone who's dancing in the streets, everyone who's drinking and eating and being merry will be brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way. When we're brought to the knowledge of our sins in the last days, and we fear the judgment of God, our fears, our guilt will be in our way. They will be upon us. They will stricken us. And the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Man is going to his long home. Where will we live the longest? Our eternal end. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. I read this at my aunt's funeral. I didn't know who was there. I didn't know what they believed. But I knew I had to assure them that the spirit of my aunt, her soul would go before God. And that everything that came in her life prior to that, including her mortal body, would be returned to the dust. Material items, even this body, returned to the dust where they were first created. There is nothing. This podium will someday not be here. Our spirit, our soul returns to God to be judged. These sins that we have allowed in our lives, that I've allowed in my life, They're vain. It's vanity. They're worthless. We need nothing more than what God provides for our daily nourishment. My last scripture is right here in Ecclesiastes, and it's the answer. It's an answer, and it's a good answer. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let us hear the word of God. The whole word of God. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Confess your sins. Repent. You'll be forgiven. Confess, I am a sinner too. Thank you.
Steve, the announcements for the remainder of the week. Let's remember midweek prayer service, 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening. At 9, or July 9th through the 13th, is Vacation Church School up at the temple lot. Worms are in the foyer. It says cookies and fresh fruit are needed. July 14th, Saturday, is a fish fry here at the East Local, 6 p.m. Donations accepted to benefit the Church of Christ Teen Camp. Remember those on our prayer list. Choose hymn number 66 for our closing hymn.